Welcome to Security Guy Radio with Black Hat 2016. What's your name?
Karen Kiffney.
And what's your company?
I'm with CyberArk.
CyberArk. And what does CyberArk do?
We focus on securing privileged accounts. They're really the keys to the IT kingdom.
Privileged accounts. Define that for me.
Privileged accounts are really the accounts used by IT admins. They control access to all of the IT infrastructure, all of your important applications and so forth.
So this is where we run into problems internally, where I have found, I used to work at Fox and Disney for a long time, work with the IT guys, and more often than not, it wasn't an external problem. It was an internal problem. People passed around passwords, sharing stuff. Yeah, that guy had access administer, but he was sloppy about it. So you help tighten up the internal process as well as people coming in from the outside?
That's exactly it. So we protect against internal, rogue internal users as well as external attackers, because the attackers are always going after these privileged accounts,
right?
Because they really give them the access they need to execute the attack
high
they're
value.
Trying to do. Exactly.
So how do you actually make that happen, Karen?
So we do a combination of protection and detection. So from the protection perspective, we really take all of the credentials that provide access to those accounts, lock them up in a secure digital vault, and control access to them so they're not out in the wild.
Now, how do you protect against getting into the vault? Because now we have a single place for all this stuff, right?
Sure. We definitely recommend organizations use multi-factor authentication and best practices to control access
to that. Now, we've talked to a lot of people at the show, and everybody says the same thing. We recommend multi-factor. Why don't we just say that's the way it goes, you're going to use multi-factor? Maybe you wouldn't have as many sales, I get it. Why is the resistance for multi-factor? I know it's inconvenient, but it works.
Well, we say recommend because it's up to the organization to choose to do it, but most of our customers definitely use it because they understand
they
the importance. Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now, so is this something that is residing within the organization's infrastructure, or is this something that is separate and y'all hold it at your infrastructure level?
It's in the organization.
It's in the organization.
Yep. Now, why not have that on the cloud? Why not have the vault on the cloud and the key at the client location?
So we do offer the option that organizations can run our solution in the cloud. So in that case, the credentials could be stored in our digital vault, which is in the cloud. But most organizations choose to keep it on premises these days.
But that's where they get caught, right? That's where they get breached. They left the key in the drawer next to in Target, left the key and somebody found it. Went, how did that happen? I don't know.
Well, that's where our solution comes in. Our digital vault is specifically designed with security.
Right.
Exactly.
And from a technical perspective, how's it really working? How does your solution work for the clients?
So as I said, we take the credentials, we lock them up in the secure digital vault, and then the user just logs into that digital vault, sees the accounts that they have access to, retrieves the credential for the period of time, and then once it's done, we can rotate that key. So in most cases, the user never actually knows what the credential is. So it's very secure from that user really knowing.
You're basically putting a wall up between the correct defined users and their capability of getting access, and then you're changing access to that every time they use it.
Yes, and we're also able to monitor that session, record it so we can follow up. And then we have detection capabilities because you always want to do that combination. Protect everything you can, but then have a real continuous monitoring approach to it.
Interesting.
So we have analytics that understand what normal behavior looks like and then alerts if anything unusual is happening.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot about this human behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems like as they're developing all these things, the programmers kind of forgot about human behavior. Now they're saying, you know what? Maybe we got to monitor and do some analytics on a pattern of how this guy works. And every Wednesday at 2 o'clock, this one guy opens up the vault. But he's not at work on Wednesday. So maybe that's a problem, right? We seem to have missed that. But now that we're putting this in, are we catching more people doing things? Is it working?
Yes, it's definitely working. We just send an alert to the security operations team, and they can follow up and determine if it was authorized use or unauthorized use and do follow-up on those incidents.
So does your company develop those patterns, or is that based on all of the data that you look at from the consumer, from the company?
So our solution actually understands the baseline for each customer individually.
Okay.
So you put the solution in, it spends some time learning what's normal for that organization, and then starts alerting on the unusual behavior.
Now, if I'm the end user, can I say, hey, Karen, I need you to write a behavior pattern for me that'll tell me this, and can we customize it? Because maybe all I care about in my organization is one guy. Literally, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Can we do something that finite?
Right now, we don't customize the solution. Really, one of the benefits is that we have created these algorithms that know what to look for. Mm-hmm. So it's our expertise that our CyberArk Labs team has worked on to understand what to look for, and customers really benefit from those intelligence built into the solution for what to look for.
So how big a company can use this and how small a company? A big obviously makes sense. Enterprise has all kinds of things, but can a small company with, you know, five employees but their accountants who have sensitive data use this kind of thing?
We definitely focus on the very large enterprise right now, and we go down to medium-sized enterprise, and smaller companies are, you know, an area for us to grow into.
Are you seeing that? I mean, is that even something that most companies like yours, I mean, small companies are even the most at risk from a relativity perspective.
Well, and they're the majority of all businesses.
Right, yeah. So relatively,
it's not
big
corporations that make up most of the employees. It's the small ones.
Right. So is there, do you see that same trend? Or is it just the enterprise-level solutions that are really getting used out
there? No, it's definitely a trend in all security solutions, where we always start with the large organization, very often in financial institutions. That's where CyberArk started. And then you expand to all industries. Today, we sell to every industry possible.
Right.
It's really interesting to see.
Well, you know
what?
You got to start high, because that's where the money is.
Well, I mean, obviously.
No,
you got to make a business.
I mean, it's all about business. Right?
Well, it's about high-value targets,
right? I never
thought
about it that way, but it really...
Financial first.
Right.
But what we're seeing from everybody that we talk to at Black Hat is that there's a continual need and a growing need for cybersecurity at the lowest levels, but access to good cybersecurity, especially financially, it's just not feasible yet.
Yeah.
So we're some companies just can't make that jump, it sounds like. But this seems like as long as the company knows how to use it and it has existing controls in place, this is just one more layer that they add on top of it, right?
Absolutely.
So back in the day, and my experience is limited to a Fortune 50 companies, right? And pretty big players, like Disney had 135,000 employees. And we had a pretty robust IT department. And it seemed to me back then, and at Fox I was there in the 90s, that internally we handled all this stuff internally. Is it because the big corporations didn't do a good job that now they're going out for these solutions, or... this stuff you do is high-end programming, idea-making, innovation, and that's really not a core business for an entertainment company or a doctor's office or something
else.
Or
they don't have the staff? Is it staff-based or personnel? Or?
Because we would never want to go out of the corporation for help.
If we didn't have
IT-wise. Yeah, no, it was like, oh, this is our data.
Yeah.
It's intellectual property, right?
Right.
It's kind of sensitive. And now the trend is, oh, hey, we need an outside vendor to help us with this stuff.
The trend is that specialty is external to the company now.
External to the company, right.
Rather than homegrown. What are your thoughts on that? Is that consistent with the rest of the industry?
Yeah, I think it's exactly true. Organizations want to focus on what they do the best. If they manufacture cars, they want to focus on manufacturing the cars the best. And when it comes to anything like payroll or cleaning the office or securing the infrastructure, you go to the experts in that area.
Interesting.
Sure. Well, access to information, and whether it's the cloud or cell phones or computers, you have access to people all over the world a lot easier than you did even, say, 5-10 years ago, which
Absolutely.
Makes that a lot easier to do.
Yep.
You got anything on the drawing board for us that you can talk about?
Something special.
The next best
Lots
level?
Of exciting stuff.
This is exclusive.
Yeah.
It's an
okay.
exclusive
That's fine.
With Security Guy Radio.
Karen, give us your website one more time.
www.cyberark.com.
And your name and title?
Karen Kiffney, Senior Director of Product Marketing.
Karen, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Appreciate
Thank you.
You. Good
Appreciate
show.
It.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
I'll take that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was waiting for you to talk about it. Come back, come back.
We
can
cut it.
No, we'll cut it. Yeah, we'll
cut
it.
There was no editing.
All right, cool. No,
we usually don't, but we forgot. We'll lead you in.
No, I was waiting for you to talk about it, but I thought maybe you wanted to go different ways.
No, this is hard. I couldn't figure out how to get it in.
That's all right.
Why don't we do this? We had a question. It was really cool the other day. We'll just go into attack vectors and then, I got a good question.
No, I got a good cut for it.
You got a good?
Yeah, that'll be fine. It'll be fine. So we got to give it center. Let's just center ourselves.
Just come back this way a little bit. All right.
And I'm going to be back here.
Great.
All right, so who's going to do the ransomware question?
I'll take it.
All right, go ahead.
Ready? So, Karen, what we're hearing a lot about is ransomware as being the number one threat out there from a volume perspective. We've heard some different ideas on it. How are you seeing ransomware infiltrated into the enterprise networks right now?
Definitely a hot topic here at Black Hat and something that we've been really focused on. We actually just issued a research report. So we have a whole labs team that does research on different types of attacks and mitigation methodologies. And we took an interesting approach to this. We tested 23,000 strains of ransomware because we all know that they're polymorphic, so they're changing all the time.
Right,
and that's one of the tricky things. Antivirus vendors have a really tough time detecting them because it's always a new strain that's being put into the organization.
True.
So we tested different mitigation technologies. And the interesting interesting finding was that a combination of privileged or least privilege or privilege management and application control protected organizations 100% of the time from those 23,000 stains.
Wow.
Very interesting
research.
Did
you publish this at Black Hat?
We did. We just published the report this week.
Are we the second person to hear it?
You are.
We're a mini,
wow.
another
mini exclusive.
Secondary
breaking news.
breaking news. Well, we got to take what we can get.
So you're saying that it's not about training to the masses about don't click on that. It's about access, privileged access of who can, because that's who the hackers are trying to go after, right?
Right.
Is getting into the administrative side, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Well,
so
that's interesting because other people have told us, no, we got to train everybody. But really, everybody can't write the $1 million check.
Well,
to
they'll
the hacker.
Hack one computer and right. then just try to get. And help me out here, but they're trying to get to the next computer to find the administrator.
To find the guy that can make
so that exactly. they can really make some big theft or, hold them ransom, right?
Right. So in security today, there's a lot of focus on the endpoint because that's where the attacker is going to get into the organization
right.
and do lateral movement, escalate privileges to get where they want with the privileges that they need.
Sure.
And we focused on, and that's where ransomware comes in. And with our approach with the application control combined with least privilege, we not only reduce the privileges so ransomware can't get a hold, but we also reduce the privileges of unknown applications. So an application comes in, you check it against the whitelist, it's unknown. You can actually restrict what that application can do. So we took an interesting approach, and with ransomware, we restricted the unknown application from, say, accessing all of your Microsoft files. Mm-hmm. So when it goes to encrypt them, it can't actually access the file and encrypt it. So it can get in, it can try to execute, but then can't get to the files to encrypt them. And that's where the protection
came in. So it's focused defense.
Well, and this is a physical security analogy, right?
Huge, huge.
Because in the back in the day, the idea was you put a hard target, fence, guards, barbed wire, we didn't want to do. Usually you had a secondary perimeter, which mm-hmm. was your building. Mm-hmm. But we went further for intellectual property. We had to go down to literally a vault, a physical vault, mm-hmm. where the film was, where the script was, right? So I see what you're doing visually. It's going down and protecting every level. But right then, if you can't defend that final point, you're done.
That's right.
It's
and
identifying the...
You've got to fortify the final step.
Yeah, the key target,
a lot of
the
time,
key actor, right?
Right.
Yeah, and the final step's
protecting
sound fortified.
Him or her. Yeah.
If
you
go, I'm going to stop at the firewall, I'm safe, So.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, CyberArk's whole approach is that the attacker's going to get in, the malware's going to get in, and you do a layer of protection on the inside further in. Just like you're saying on the physical side. It's a great analogy.
Very good. Very Karen,
very
thanks
cool.
for coming on Security Guard. Give us your name and website again.
Karen Kiffney from CyberArk, www.cyberark.com.
Great. Thanks for coming on Security Guard. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.